We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Welcome and good evening. You're listening to the voice of Pastor Joe Larson. I'm filling in for Pastor Ernie Sanders. He's still under the weather. In fact, he's got a quite bad case of what I'd call the flu, and sore throat, can't talk. So you're probably going to have to put up with me the rest of the week. I'm trying to fill some awfully big shoes, and you might just let's keep Pastor Ernie. In fact, let's just all go to prayer together, shall we? I'd like you all just to pray with me because, well, everyone's going to need prayer, and if you haven't been praying for others, it's kind of a hard concept to expect them to be wanting and willing to pray for you. Kind of a simple, this is how God wants us to be. Dear Heavenly Father, you know exactly what bug is infecting Pastor Ernie and large numbers there of doers of the Word Church and the radio ministry. And it's quite unpleasant, quite debilitating. And we would just ask that you would strengthen him and help him fight off the bug that's infecting him, that you would just bless him in every way and just get him well as fast as possible, if it be thy will. And there's a lot of us that are just praying for him. The older all of us get, the harder those bad cases of the flu and the bugs are, and the harder on the body to recover. So, Lord, just wrap him in your loving arms and bless him and heal him in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to start off with a message he wanted me to give out before I forget it. There is going to be a tactical civics meeting at Doers of the Word Baptist Church Friday night, 7 p.m. That's this coming Friday, 7 p.m. at the church. And that is 14781 Sperry Road there in Newberry. And that will be 7 o'clock there at the church. And I repeat that address one more time, 14781 Sperry Road there in Newberry. And I can't remember the nearby route. I haven't been there for a while. I keep forgetting. I lose my way real easily there. So anyway, if you can, that would be a meeting to attend. The more people who are aware of our constitutional rights, what we can do to fight back, and the more that are willing to stand up, the better off are there in Ohio, and hopefully this tactical civics just keeps spreading across the country, and more people remember, we are the sovereigns, and the elected officials are supposed to be our servants representing us. They are not our masters, and we are the masters, and it's time we took control of this country back. Tonight, for a Bible study, I'm going to use a book, a child's book, to do a Bible study. The book, and if you have pencil and paper handy at all, if you have children, grandchildren, I'd say up to, 14, 15 years old, this book is called The Candy Maker's Gift. The Candy Maker's Gift. It's the inspirational legend of the candy cane. The inspirational legend of the candy cane. And that's going to be the title tonight, The Candy Cane, the biblical significance of it. The book is by David and Helen Haidle, H-A-I-D-L-E. I think it's mostly by Helen Haidle is what I saw when I looked it up. It can be found on Amazon. The book was published back first copyright 1996 and then 1998. It's a story of a poor candy maker. And he is in a small town, and he is not wealthy, and he's putting wood in an old wood stove. It doesn't really give you a date, but you can kind of tell it's, burning wood and not very advanced. And he is wondering what he can do to give his granddaughter a gift for Christmas. It's prior to the Christmas, it's a week or two before Christmas, and he's humming carols, and the story, he's given out some candy to the children, and anyway, they're all saying Merry Christmas, and the old man is looking at a manger scene that his father carved many, many years ago. And the old candy maker is saying, I hope the children won't miss the real gift of Christmas, the Christ child. And he's praying there as he knelt by his chair in the shop. He said, Dear Lord, you love these children more than I do. How can I help them know your gift of Christmas? Show me how I can bless them. Well, as the book continues, the candy maker is inspired by his granddaughter. And he makes a candy cane, first candy canes were ever made. And in it, as he goes through, he's saying, okay, he's going to make it hard. It's going to be a hard candy because God was the rock. And he's going to make it in the shape of a J for Jesus, or a cane, like a shepherd's cane. And he goes through, and then, J for Jesus. And he paints it as a stripe, the stripes that Christ bare for us, the red, the blood of Christ, the red that reminded his granddaughter of hearts, which reminded him of God's love to us, and on and on and on. And the book is very sweet, very warm. And over the many, many years, one of our great traditions in the Larson household is one of the main ornaments on the Christmas tree is the candy cane. So we're going to take a look at this candy cane through the words of Scripture. Now, I don't have all of the verses. I probably could spend all week if I did all of the verses as we go along. Rock. We all know that hymn, Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages. In 1 Samuel, Scripture tells us, there is none holy as the Lord Christ, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. And here in 1 Samuel, he's talking about the Trinity. And all through 2 Samuel, it talks about the Lord is my rock. Now, he mentions in different verses in chapter 22 and many different verses, he said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Yeah, he goes on, exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. And I notice in Scripture that appears in Psalms and several other places, Psalm 18, verse 46. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Anytime God repeats a phrase several times, he's trying to tell us something. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. And then in Psalm 62, verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. There's a hymn there too. I shall not be moved. Remember that? The reason I'm going through this is something all you parents and grandparents can do. You can take that candy cane, you can look at it, the hard candy, hard as a rock, and you can use it to do what I'm doing tonight, teach your children, your grandchildren, as you go through Scripture. We know in Matthew chapter 7, it talked about the wise man building his house upon the rock, and of course, you know, when the floods and the rain came and the wind, the house didn't fall because what? It was built upon a rock, built upon a strong foundation, a foundation that would not give. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, it says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. Notice the way the phrasing, spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Poetic terms, drank of the spiritual rock. Drank of what? The living waters. Remember in Scripture, Moses striking the rock and water comes pouring out of the rock in the Old Testament. And Jesus talked about what? He was, you know, he had the living water. If you drink the living water, you shall never perish. And then in 1 Peter, talks about that he is the chief cornerstone, elect, a precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, never confused, because what we are, Scripture says, what? Lively stones, living stones, and the living stones build a living church. This is the true definition of a church, by the way. Living stones building a living church that worships a living, risen Lord, and all that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So we know that he was the cornerstone. The builders refused, but it also said he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So Christ to the world of non-believers is a stone of stumbling, a rock of what? Great offense. And boy, do we see that today. I've got several studies, stories that came out where we see the world hating Christ, hating Christians. Yep, to them he is, you know, they are the disobedient and an offense. His very word is offensive. So then we have the candy cane was basically white candy. We know in Scripture, white stands for purity. In Matthew chapter 17, when he's talking about the transfiguration where Christ went from man and transformed into his true self, transfigured before his disciples, some of them, it says, his face did shine as the sun and his raiment was white as the light. Transfiguration. The raiment was white as light itself. Matthew 28 talks about the angel of the Lord descending from heaven. Now, I'm going to back up and read this whole verse because this is a very interesting verse, and I think a lot of people have missed this in Scripture. It has to do with when Christ was buried in the tomb, right? So in Matthew 28, verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him did keepers, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." Well, those of you who have listened to Pastor Ernie and I know that we believe that in many cases the angel of the Lord was the pre-incarnate Christ. So here you have the pre-incarnate Christ, that's in other words, Christ existing as the angel of the Lord, also called the angel of my presence. So what angel would have the presence of God the Father, but Christ the Son is the only one. So we know this angel of my presence, the angel of the Lord, accepted worship, different things in the Old Testament, so we're quite positive he was a pre-incarnate Christ. Here he comes and rolls back the stone from his own tomb, the tomb that couldn't hold him. This is the same angel of the Lord that came to the shepherds and introduced his own birth in Bethlehem in the manger. We know that because it said, you know, "And the glory of God was around." The Shekinah glory came with this angel. Before the multitude of heavenly hosts, we had just the angel of the Lord talking to the shepherds, telling them to be not afraid, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And it said, "This glory of the Lord shone round about." Well, the glory of the Lord is the Shekinah glory, comes only with God. So this angel had to be the pre-incarnate Christ. So here we have another Christophany, the angel of the Lord rolling away the stone from his tomb. And then, of course, you know, the story in the book of John, we had the two angels that were there that the women saw, two angels in white sitting, what, where the body of Jesus lay. And we see again in Acts 1, when it said, "And while they looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up," as Jesus rose into heaven, "behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." These are angels, you know, telling that Jesus is going to return, come back in like manner as he went into heaven. So the angels dressed in white, the purity. And, you know, just all through Scripture, there are several references in Revelation, chapter 1, verse 13. And it said, "And amidst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle." And then it says, what? "His head and his hairs were white as wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire," the Son of Man. White as wool, white as snow. If you go back in the Old Testament, it talked about God, the Ancient of Days, has what? His hair was white as wool, like wool, white, and white as snow. Interesting. Jesus said, "If you've seen the Father, you have seen me." He said, of course, "I and the Father are one." One verse that is a good one to teach is Revelation 3:5. "He that overcometh," sin, you know, overcometh being a follower of Jesus, "the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." He that overcometh, that's a powerful word. We see that in Revelation, and it's a great teaching word. And we know in Revelation chapter 7, it talks about there was a great multitude there in heaven that no man could number. The nations and kindreds and people stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. So here we have all those entities in heaven all of the people from all over the nations, kindreds, different tongues, clothed in white. And Revelation 7:14, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest? And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There are many, many more wonderful references to that white purity. And then we have the flavor, the spices. He made the candy cane peppermint. And if you don't realize, mint's talked about in Scripture. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for ye pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of law, the judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. And again, that's repeated in Luke about, woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe the mint. And then we know in Scripture, Exodus tells us, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense. Yeah, it talks about the principal spices of pure myrrh, of sweet cinnamon, and of sweet calamus in Exodus chapter 30. And in verse 34, and the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, and list several spices, these sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each there shall be a weight. So all through Scripture you can find different things about the spices and about, being used in Scripture. And the spices used, of course, when the women went to the tomb. In Luke 23, the women, when they returned and prepared spices and ointments, they rested, the Sabbath day. And then in Luke 24, it said, now the first day of the week, early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices they had prepared and certain others with them. So we see spices. And then, of course, we have the candy cane itself, the cane, the staff. We see the angel of the Lord again. Here in the Old Testament in Judges chapter 6, Judges 6 verse 21, then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up a fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So here we see the angel of the Lord with the staff, and we know the staff was, the shepherd's staff. The Lord is the good shepherd. We saw the staff where King David is a boy when he went out to fight Goliath in 1 Samuel. It said, and he took his staff in his hand, his shepherd's staff, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, and the sling in his hand. All through Scripture. And then we can go to Zechariah and read about the staff, the beauty and bond, and how he said, I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant, which I had made with all the people. And in 11:14, he says, then I cut asunder my other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. So you see, there are limitless things you can use. And I'm going to be coming close in time, and I might just carry the last part of the Bible study over after this short break because it's so important. I'm going to do it right after we have this break, and I think we're coming up in about, 10 seconds? 10 seconds? Well, just count it down. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, take it away.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992. When they murdered Dickie Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed a church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege, war now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. The gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. And now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. Gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
Welcome back. This is What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry, the voice of the Christian resistance. And this is Pastor Joe Larson sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders, who's out with a bad case of the flu, punies, whatever you want to call it. And I'm a little not in good voice as I've been having some bad allergy problems. So occasionally if you hear a little silence, I'm grabbing the sneeze cough button so I don't sneeze in your ear on the radio. The last thing I wanted to talk about in our Bible study, and I wanted to spend a little more time on it, the J was not only a shepherd's crook on the candy cane, but the J stood for Jesus. And we know Matthew starts out in Matthew 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, the son of Abraham. And it goes on, Jesus. Well, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the word for Jesus in Hebrew is Yehoshua, Yehoshua, which means Jehovah, the God Jehovah saves. So therefore, we have Jesus is the Savior. Why? Jesus, God Jehovah saves. Jesus is the Savior. That's what his name means, Jesus, the name Jesus himself. Matthew 3:16. Now remember, I'm giving you this kind of stuff because these are things people are always saying, what can we do? Well, teach your own children, your own grandchildren. You can use this candy cane, this story, or just use the candy cane itself to do some teaching. Like here in the example, Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then I want to read a little from the book of Matthew, starting Matthew 19. It's going to start in verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold," unto Jesus, "behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" What shall we have? What are we going to get out of following you? And Jesus said unto them, all the disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." Receive everlasting life. Jesus said in the book of John, in John chapter 10, "I and my Father are one." And he also said, "If ye have seen me, you have seen the Father." And then again in John 17, he said, "And the glory which God gavest me, I have given them, my disciples, that they may be one, even as we, the Father and I, are one." Yep, in Revelation 6:22-16, "I, Jesus, sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." And it goes on and says in Revelation 22:21, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Jesus, also known as Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He came to be with us, came in the flesh, lived as a man, suffered everything that we go through, from having to have a soiled diaper changed to hitting his thumb with a hammer when he was an apprentice carpenter. Everything that happens to us in the flesh, Jesus experienced. So when we talk with our Lord and we are talking about our problems and our needs, he understands. He's been hungry. He's been thirsty. He's been hurt. He's been lonely. He understands. You have no better friend in the world than Jesus Christ, who also happens to be God himself. So I've got some good news tonight, at least on the political front. The Michigan Supreme Court made a huge decision about Trump on the 2024 ballot. Hopefully you've all heard it, but the Supreme Court declined today, to remove former President Donald Trump from the state's ballot. The court just wrote, "It was not persuaded that the questions presented should be reviewed by this court. It wasn't something that should have come before the court." And we know the Colorado Supreme Court got together and decided that they would have a trial amongst themselves and declare Trump ineligible to be on the ballot because he engaged in an insurrection. Well, he was never charged with insurrection. He never had a trial finding him guilty of insurrection. And this court in Michigan realized, hey, you know, this isn't anything we can judge. And so they, you know, Trump is on the ballot. Now, the left is desperate right now. They hate and fear Trump. Trump being president would end the revolution that's taking place, that they're trying to attempt. And we know the Supreme Court, really every good attorney out there, constitutional attorney, has said the Supreme Court can't let Colorado's ruling stand, because we've got 50 different states but one election, and we can't have 50 states all determining who can be on the ballot and who can't. It would have to be the same in all states to have a national election. It's the law, and it's also a little thing called common sense, which in today's world there isn't a lot of, well, not much common sense. Kind of story that being a veteran really bothered me, and so I'm going to do it. It's Tommy Tuberville is a senator, U.S. senator, and he did an opinion piece for Fox News, and the gist of the story is Biden is aiding illegal immigrants instead of veterans, and doing that is un-American. You know, we have a crisis at the border. It's been covered so many times. What, you know, about 2 million got away, 7 to 8 million border crossings, and it's getting worse every day. There's a huge caravan coming. We've had days or, you know, weeks where there's 15,000 people coming across in a day. They were averaging, what, almost 9,000 a day through December. That's almost 300,000 people a month, and that's not counting the gotaways. So anyway, he wrote this piece, and basically he said Biden is adding insult to injury. There are media reports that the border is in such chaos that the Biden administration is using resources from the VA, Veterans Administration, to facilitate health care for illegal aliens. And he said, this is a slap in the face to our veterans and to the taxpayers. He said, that's why last week I introduced the No VA Resources for Illegal Aliens Act into the Senate. My bill does just what it says. It prohibits VA resources, whether health care, claims for processing health care, from being used for illegal aliens. They keep trying to call them immigrants. They're not. They're illegal aliens. They came across illegally. They're aliens. They are not immigrants. Immigrants come in legally. And he says, I think this will pass. Anyway, what they're doing, to make a long story short here, the Department of Homeland Security is supposed to reimburse the VA. They're using VA services. And they say, well, there's no issue because we're going to reimburse the VA. But Tuberville said, this is wrong. What the Department of Homeland Security is doing, they are going out to the healthcare providers in the VA's community care network. This community care network was set up for people that live long different distances from a VA facility or a clinic. And it enables them to go to a doctor of their choice and get service at a local doctor, a local surgeon, instead of driving, you know, a couple hours to a VA hospital or clinic. And it's a beautiful program, and it's helped many, many veterans. Well, what they're doing now is they're using this to take care of the illegals, the illegal aliens. So as a result, the veterans themselves are being forced to travel to the VA facilities instead of relying on the doctors in their local community, as the, according to this community care network, was set up. And Senator Tuberville said, it's hard to think of something more un-American than that. We have veterans that can't get service, that have to drive for long distance to get care because they're using the system meant for them to take care of illegals, people that broke the law, came into the country illegally. And you know, the same old thing he says, basically, you know, people around the world know they can simply waltz into this country, go to a blue state, get free health care, free education, driver's license, even cash benefits, while the people of this country that work hard, pay taxes, get to face rising prices for everything, and they're paying for all the benefits. Yeah, your taxpayer dollars are paying for all of this. And he said securing the border will require shutting off the magnet that's drawing them to this country. All we have to do is shut down the border. Our veterans earn their health care. Many of them were severely crippled, injured. Some, of course, paid with their life. These illegals haven't earned anything from the taxpayer. They shouldn't even be here. And he said there's no reason this legislation should not become law. So you can call your Congress critter and his your representative and tell him that Tuberville's No VA Resources for Illegal Aliens Act, you know, your senator in your state, you want it passed. You believe it is something that should be done. Fair is fair. In America was, you know, we should reward those who served the country who paid the highest price. They're the ones that should get rewarded before those that break the law. Now, I've got those of you that live in California. You need to listen up. In fact, those all over the nation, we've seen the extreme rise of anti-Semitism. We've seen the rise of hate going on in America, fomented by, of course, George Soros and a lot of the liberal, far, far liberal left. But what happened in California is sickening to me. Using a slogan, you know, that's a knockoff on Hamas, from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free, which means they want the elimination of Israel and Jews between the Jordan River and the sea, you know, no Jews allowed. Well, there's a campaign in a publication in San Diego demanding that same thing there. Yep. The San Diego slogan says, from the freeway to the sea, all La Jolla must be free, referring to the Pacific Ocean, and also that Jordan River to the Mediterranean, they're now saying from the freeway, I guess the big free, I don't know which one it is, all La Jolla, California must be free. The San Diego Reader, Walt Minkin, is listed as the author of the El Aloge Infatada. And he quotes this, interesting, he quotes a Muslim, Amir Asham, of the University of San Diego, Students for Palestinian Promotion. And they talk about all throughout much of the history, there were no Jews in La Jolla. This is a fact. In fact, he quoted some realtors that were approached by Jews, you know, and that the realtors would call the Real Estate Brokers Association, which would see to it that the settlers were told that there were no properties available in La Jolla, especially for, well, they wouldn't tell them to their face, Jews. So he goes on and says, yeah, well, that got changed because La Jolla wanted to have a branch of the university there, of the UC university system. And the people said, well, you can't have a university without some Jewish professors. So the people, La Jolla, yielded. And then the man says, it continued that now knowing better, we know that it's not only possible to have a university without Zionist oppressors, it's necessary. And it goes on and gets really, really sick. And they want to get rid of all the Jews there in that southern part of California. And, of course, we know the United Nations is pushing and backing Hamas and doing everything they can to thwart Israel and the hatred around the world. I think when there was a resolution, the United Nations, only what, eight nations stood with the U.S. in a reference to backing Israel, and most of the rest of the world is against Israel. But we know in Scripture, and Scripture said, as you do unto Israel, so shall it be done unto you. And God doesn't lie. It was prophesied long ago, as you do unto Israel, it shall be done unto you. I'm paraphrasing, but it's quite close. Now, there's a big story. Remember, Pastor Ernie and I have been talking about the election, how it was stolen. Donald Trump is the true president, is our president, and that most of the time, whenever they went to court, the actual truth never got presented in any of these court cases. Oh, the courts always said there was, you know, no election fraud. Well, most of the time, it never got presented to the court. And this story will tell you the truth, why most of the time things didn't get to the court, why everything turned out the way they did. And it's a story from Georgia. It's through Jim Hoft at the Gateway Pundit. Jim Hoft, Gateway Pundit, great story. Georgia Secretary of State refuses to testify about Dominion voting machine security. So it was reported earlier this year, we did it on the radio, the Federal District Court, Northern District of Georgia, unsealed a 96-page Halderman report in June called The Security Analysis of Georgia's ImageCast X Ballot Marketing Devices. Now, the big story here is Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, was hiding this report from the public for over 2 years. And if you notice, it hasn't really gotten any attention. The media didn't cover this. Jay Halderman is a University of Michigan professor of computer science and engineering. And he had a research assistant professor at Auburn, Drew Stringle. And they collaborated on this report where they discovered many exploitable vulnerabilities in the Dominion voting system, the ImageCast X system. Pastor Ernie and I were telling you the system was corrupt. It was used to, hack the election. Now, the far-left Georgia judge, Amy Totenberg, sealed and covered up the results of this investigation on the Dominion voting machines in Georgia and sat on the report, just like the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, did for 2 years until it was released last summer. And the report confirms that votes can be altered in the Dominion voting machines. The report says the software is vulnerable, can be hacked. So now they're having this thing has been in court, and the Secretary of State said he's not going to testify. Why doesn't he want to testify? Well, maybe the truth will come out. Anyway, there's a large copy of the Halderman report, and yes, Kyle, Style. 5 minutes, thank you. I have a little trouble hearing sometimes. Now, this Halderman report, of course, is on the Internet. It's a very long, complicated thing. But to make a long story short, they found some very critical problems in the code execution, and there's a lot of stuff that I don't understand. But it says it makes it impossible to attack this whole thing at scale over a wide area without needing physical access to any of the machines. So in other words, it can be controlled from afar. And it said the flaws could change votes and affect election outcomes in Georgia, and even including how they could defeat the technical and procedural protections of the state. So this professor has done all this work, and we know that there's this proof that the system is flawed, vulnerable. It had a lot of problems, and now they're trying to go to court, and they want to take a look at this, but nobody wants to testify. And the district court there is going to meet this coming Friday to see if Rassenberg, the attorney general, is going to have to testify about this. Now, the other interesting thing is, Raffensperger is a vocal never-Trumper. And he, when he ran for Secretary of State, knew his machines were vulnerable during his own re-election in 2022. And now, guess what? They've decided they're going to fix the system. They're going to fix the system there in Georgia. Now, get ready. Ta-da, I wish I could do a drum roll in Georgia. The plan will, of fixing this, will happen following the 2024 election cycle. They're going to fix all of the problems with the system, but they're going to do it after the big 2024 election. Why? Well, they said, you know, this is going to be very complicated. This pilot program is, well, it's going to require an update of 45,000 pieces of voting equipment along with testing, and will take thousands of man hours to do. So we're going to put it off. And remember, he's known about this report 2 years as of last June. He knew it was bad. He knew they had to fix the system. So here we have a never-Trumper is going to fix the voting machines in Georgia after the 2024 election of, you know, between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. This smells, if you live in the state of Georgia, I think you need to be talking to your people there in Georgia. This is sickening, folks. They know the system's flawed where you vote. They know the computers can be controlled from outside without anybody touching a machine. They had one of the best computer science experts there, this Jay Halderman at the University of Michigan, do the testing. And he said it's really bad. It can be real easy to do. And so here's the man that selected the system, has been defending the system as secure and safe, but can't take a couple hours to go defend the system in a court of law. I find this sickening. This is corrupt government. We, the people, remember, are supposed to be the sovereigns. What's going on in Georgia, folks? How did this man get elected? How does he stay in office? The man is a liar, a crook. He is getting ready to help try and throw the 2024 election. Again, knowing these Dominion voting machines are not safe, they can be controlled. And one machine can control others. All kinds of things can go on. We have one of the world's best experts, and they're going to allow this to happen. Don't you want your vote to count in Georgia? Don't you think you have a right as an American citizen to have your vote counted in an election that you know is safe and secure? Remember, they've been saying that the 2020 election was the safest election in history. Out here in Missouri, we call that cow manure. We have another word for it, bull pucky. But it's up to you. I guess, do you want to live in a constitutional republic? Do you want your vote to count? Do you want to be free, or do you want to be a slave of the collective, to have the deep state running this country for you, telling you how to live, how to vote, what you can do, what you can, you know, what rights you have? Or do you want your God-given rights as granted by the Constitution of the United States of America? We're getting ready to take a short break. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, They hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon recruiter service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting, because life's too short for a bad hire.